Next, we'd like to take a detour to the capital of theme parks, Florida, the home of Disney World, SeaWorld, on and on. 50 years ago, Florida had other attractions with names like Storyland, Gatorama, and Africa USA, which opened in 1953 in the sleepy South Florida town of Boca Raton. An entrepreneur named Jack Peterson followed a wild dream by founding the nation's first cage-free live animal park. Though it closed after just 8 years, it lives on in the hearts and minds of the Petersons, and our Saturday postcard comes from the site of that park.
I'm Ginger Peterson. I'm the granddaughter of John Peterson, the founder of Africa USA, and I'm the daughter of his son, Jack Peterson.
And I'm Shirley Peterson Snyder, the only child left, the daughter of John Peterson. He came from a very poor family of 11 people. But he didn't say that he would like to be. He said, I am. And there's three things I want to do in my life. I want to become a millionaire. I want to open up a park where you don't have to see animals in cages where they're loose and free. And I'd like to live to be over 100. Well, he got his wish about the animals. He got to see them all roaming free, and other people did too. He got to be the millionaire, but he never got to live to be over 100. He died 2 months before 99.
My father spent 10 months on safari in Africa and collected a lot of the zebras, ostrich, and other animals. He brought them to a train to Mombasa, and from there they sailed aboard ship across the Atlantic and landed in Port Everglades. And a lot of the animals were offloaded there and brought up here by truck to Africa USA.
The Jeep safaris were all open. You had no covering over you, so the animals could come right up to the train, which was quite thrilling.
We're sitting here on the site here at Africa USA at the lagoon, or what's left of it. It's now a major housing development that was developed when Africa USA closed in 1961.
And their main animal here was called Princess Margaret. She was the smallest chimpanzee to be brought into Africa USA, and Dad kept her up in front for the kids to see, and they dressed her in little frilly dresses.
And the chimp Margaret lived in my grandparents' house. She was a member of the family and was dressed every day and wore diapers, of course, like a child would.
The cheetahs were chained, well, they had a collar and a leash, really. And we used to take them for a ride in the car, or we'd walk along the beach with them.
August 1st, 1960 issue of Life magazine did a feature on theme parks because they were kind of an emerging entertainment feature for Americans. And Africa USA was chosen to be on the cover over Disneyland in California, which is something I think quite an accomplishment. But in their mind, it was probably the park that had more potential than Disneyland, that just had opened too at the same time.
Of course, what I enjoyed as a young woman was seeing all the celebrities coming and all the movie stars. I'd get so excited if I was selling tickets. And the first celebrity that came was Imogene Coco. I was so excited, but I had to be very calm and not show it. And John Hall and Francis Langford, Lloyd Bridges. And of course, Jack Parr was here all the time, and he called Dad his best friend. And he did so much for Africa USA by having it on his program all the time, because he was so thrilled with seeing these animals.
It's also kind of the old Florida attraction that doesn't exist anymore. We have Disney, we have Busch Gardens, they have the mega attractions owned by corporations, but the family-run tourist attraction, which really made so much of Florida in the 40s and 50s, is they're really dying out.
There were so many things that they had never seen before, and you'll never see it again.
Our postcard was produced by NPR's Susan Stone, who grew up down the street from what was once Africa USA. See pictures of Africa USA, visit our website at npr.org, and to hear the park's theme song, just listen. It's called Skokie by the Four Lads.
Skokie, Skokie, Skokie.